What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we will be talking to a boxing and kettlebell guru. I'm excited to break down kettlebells, which are a super effective way to improve strength and overall health. I have Dom Arioli, aka Coach Dom, on the podcast to give us a masterclass on kettlebells. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Dom Arioli is owner of Rock Boxing and Fitness. He recently completed his 40th year as head coach and director of the Aquinas High School boxing program called the Mission Bouts. He is a member of the Aquinas Institute's Hall of Fame, the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame, and the Rochester Italian American Community Center Hall of Fame. What's going on, Coach Dom? Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, how you doing, Matt? Or Doc?
All good, man. I'm doing great. It's Friday, and I'm excited to talk kettlebells.
Yes.
So you have an awesome story. So let's start with that. Tell us your story. What or who inspired you to get into boxing?
Well, it had to do with back 55 years ago. There was a gentleman on Monroe Avenue, and anybody that's of any age in boxing would know the guy's name, Ozzie Sussman. Ozzie Sussman, better known as the Jewish Buzzsaw, was he had a boxing studio. He used to teach kids how to box plus self-defense. And what happened is my cousin who lived next door to me got bullied, and his father wanted to bring him somewhere to learn some self-defense. So my dad says, why don't you take Dom with you? So we went, and I went there with him. I was 10, 11 years old, and I did very well. Ozzie liked me. I actually did commercials for him way back then. But that's where I got started with boxing, and then I worked with a bunch of different coaches. Frankie Verna was a boxing guru in the area. Yeah, Frankie Verna, he dealt with a lot of pros. And then I also worked with police officer in the PAL program, John De Niro, who was a great guy that I boxed with also. And then at Aquinas, Albert Cudo was my mentor over there. And he's a really great guy. He passed away too early, but he taught me a lot, mentored me a lot. So that's that helped me out with my coaching that I do now at Aquinas.
Well, you're a boxing legend in the area. I mean, 55 years you've been boxing for. That's a hustle. Yes. So what about rock boxing? What or who inspired you to start that, and when did you start it?
Well, back in 2005 or 6, we had Eastman Kodak. I worked at Eastman Kodak Company for 33 years, and we're going through some downsizing, and I did various jobs. I was involved with some layoffs and stuff, and I just had enough of it. I wanted to get out. They offered a buyout. It was a decent one. They give you a year's severance and all kinds of good stuff. And so I took it. And when I took it, I was only 51 years old at the time. I still wanted to do something else. And I had a big opportunity to go with an ex-boss of mine to go up to Canada and do some consulting work. Or I could go and do what I love doing, is coaching full-time. And like Rocky says, I can't sing or dance, but I know how to box and teach boxing. So I had the opportunity to work with people at Rock Boxing. Ron Resnick owned it at the time. He was a local promoter, and I would train some of his pros and amateurs. And then he gave me the opportunity to rent to buy. So I managed the gym for a year, and then if I turned it around and made it a business, he gave me a great opportunity to take over the gym. So I changed the business model from dealing just with professional fighters and amateurs, and then started teaching it to the public. And getting people fit through the sport of boxing, and it just took off from there. So it's pretty decent, because you think about it, you know, a lot of businesses don't last this long, and it's been 15 years we've been doing it over at Rock Boxing.
Through the 08 crash and now COVID, you guys have been through a lot.
Oh yeah.
But you're boxers, man. You're tough.
Oh yeah. We're tough. We're fighters. And I'm still making it enough for my wife and I to eat. So
that's important. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. We're grateful for you guys staying in Rochester, man. Cause you could have been a consultant. Like you said, I didn't know that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So let's talk all about kettlebells today. This is a masterclass in kettlebells. What is the history of the kettlebell?
Well, kettlebells really, everybody thinks of Russia when Russian kettlebells, they're the ones that more or less perfected it. But the kettlebell started in Scotland in the Highland Games. Hmm. And the Russians looked at that and said, that's a neat instrument. And what they did is they adopted it, and then they started turning it into more exercise. Then in the 50s, they actually started competitions with the kettlebell, maybe 50s, 60s. But they used to use the kettlebell with their armed forces. Hmm. Because if you think about it, a 24-kilogram kettlebell weighs a little over 50 pounds, and they're very portable, and there's so many exercises you can do to build the strength and the type of strength you need for your fighting men. And that's how it began. That's what I heard. I trained with some Russian world champions, and you know, I trained with them at this clinic after we went out, and I drank beer, but they drank vodka, and we talked about the history of kettlebell, and it was pretty interesting. But it actually, there's a guy named Powell that, I can't pronounce his last name, that actually introduced kettlebells to the United States, where started to get adopted by more of the fitness community. And that was back in the late 90s. And but that was more the fitness style, because there's, you got to remember, Matt, there's two styles in kettlebell training. There's the fitness style, and then there's some people call it the hard style. And then there's also the competition style. And so I know both. I learned both. And my good friend introduced me to kettlebells back in the late 90s. He heard about them, and we almost went to Pavel's clinic in I think it was Minnesota somewhere. But it was so expensive to go there that we said, we'll just do it on our own. And so we started training on our own, and we had a 24 kilo kettlebell, and we tried to do things that we saw on the internet, and we had black and blue marks all over our arms, and our backs were hurting us. So we said, there's got to be a better way than this. And then we started getting some formal training throughout North America. We used to follow different people, my good friend Bobby Urtis was the guy who introduced me to kettlebells. I think it was back 98 or 99. So it was right on the, when everyone else was getting into it or started getting into it. So, we started to perfect it by going to these different seminars and clinics. And then we noticed how it increased your functional strength, your grip strength. It was perfect for fighters. So I put together some routines to help with some of the fighters I was training, utilizing the kettlebell, you know, not bulking them up, but keeping them strong and more dynamic. Because boxing is rotational, there's a lot of movements that you use your hips and legs in kettlebell also.
But why kettlebell over a dumbbell? What's the difference?
You could do things with same thing with dumbbells, but like for the kettlebell clean. Try to use a dumbbell, it's a little awkward.
Yeah.
Kettlebell will just fit in your hand just right when you do your kettlebell cleans or a snatch. You know, I've done snatches with dumbbells. You know, that's fine, but that's more of a dead hang snatch. Mm-hmm. With a kettlebell, it's a little more dynamic, and that's when you get into some of the competition lifts. And it's more explosive. And there's things that are I wouldn't do everything with kettlebell, but there's certain movements that that are better for you when you know how to utilize a kettlebell properly, because a lot of people they tend to be a little too rigid with the kettlebells and they use more of their upper body. Mm-hmm. Then they start getting, you probably see it in your business. Oh, you know, some of the CrossFitters,
yep.
they start injured. Oh, my back, you know, and they blame the kettlebell. Oh no, it's not the kettlebell. It's the person that showed you how to do the kettlebell. So
now, are you sure you're not a good dancer? I see you bouncing around over there. You got rhythm, man. You're like, you're showing me how to do a clean.
I actually took 2 years of ballet back in the 80s from a famous ballet teacher, Elizabeth Clark. My wife and I did that for a couple of years.
That's awesome.
And that helped my footwork. I'm sorry, I'm light on my feet.
Yeah, I can see that you're laying in your chair too.
Yes.
So why are kettlebells so effective at improving our health?
Well, there's a lot of, some routines and exercises that you do that works on your muscular endurance. A lot of times, a lot of the lifts that I used to do were, building more muscle groups rather than working on the movements, whether it's a push or pull movement. And the kettlebells are more dynamic movement, and it works all different body parts or different movements. If you do the lifts right, you know, like the kettlebell swing, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody thinks it's an upper body movement. No, it's not. Your legs and hips are firing. Mm-hmm. You increase the waist, you explode through, and the kettlebell rises up. Your arms aren't even doing any of the work. You're just holding on to very lightly holding on to the bell.
Right.
If you do it right.
So it's kind of the complete package when it comes to training strength and flexibility. I mean, muscular endurance is, yes, it's heavy. You can go heavier if you're looking for more strength.
Right.
But it's training those dynamic movement patterns.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
So what are some kettlebell basics that you teach in your classes?
There's the, obviously the two-handed swing, then the single arm swing.
So let's talk about the swing first. Does the swing go all the way up over your head? Like, what is the correct?
That's the, there's a couple, swing. That's called the American swing. And that's what they use in CrossFit competitions, where they take the bell and they'll bring it and they'll actually go over their head with the bell. Mm-hmm. A lot of kettlebell purists, they cringe when they see that because they don't see any real benefit with doing that, other than if you're in a CrossFit competition and trying to get your reps that way.
It's good for my business. That's good for my business. I don't like that either, because you're flaring your ribs forward and you're overextending the back.
So what we try to do with our kettlebell swings, we try to don't go any higher than shoulder height. That's all you need to go. And as you build up more strength, because you're doing it, you're creasing the waist, you're loading your hips, and then you're firing through. It's not a squat movement. It's more creasing the waist, and then you your legs are bent just a little bit. Then you fire through, and then your legs come to being straight, and then all that power that you generate coming through, boom! Before you know it, the bell's up. But if you take that swing movement and then you move to your competition movements, what are your snatch lift, which is a single arm movement. So if you do a single arm swing, so now you do the same explosion, but then you redirect the kettlebell till you get it over your head. Mm-hmm. And that's the snatch movement, but it's all generated from that same swing dynamic, boom, blasting through. And then there's the, let me back up a little bit. Now the fitness style, it was a great, great all body movement. It's more of a grinding type movement. It's called the Russian, Turkish get up. Mm-hmm. The Turkish get up hits your whole body and gets you in positions and that you start from an upward position. You got the bell over your head. Now you genuflect with the bell over your head, and you got your arm real stiff with your arm next your heat. Your bicep next to your ear, and then you try to So you kneel, and then you slowly tuck yourself so you get down to a flat position, and then you reverse it, and then you come back up, doing like a diagonal sit-up with the bell, and then you slowly move yourself up in position where the bell, you bring the bell up overhead.
I forgot about that lift. I don't know about a better lift. I forgot about that. I'm going to start doing that. A better neuromuscular lift than that.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'll do at least once a week.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm a little older. That's one of the things that older people need to do is like, you see somebody help playing with their grandkids on the floor, and they have trouble getting up off the floor.
Yeah.
Because they're not down there.
The sit stand test is another test. It's just a simple. Can you sit down without using your hands or knees to get back up? But that's even better.
Oh yeah, and you could do it. You could actually do it. When I was teaching a couple college kids the movement, and they were having trouble with it, so I said, "Let's not do any weight." So I got a cup of water, a paper cup, and I said, "Okay, extend the cup of water. Now try not to drip any water on you and do the lift." And it got them so they were concentrating on not dripping the water on them. Mm-hmm. And so they would have to keep it in their upright position. Everything had to be so, because when you're doing the Turkish get up, you got to keep everything close to center of mass. Once you start your arm or anything away from your center of mass, the weight gets heavier and you start hurting things.
Yep.
So I had them with a cup of water. Now they didn't want to get the water on them. But after they were saying, this would be a coach, you just showed us a new drinking game we could drink with it. Well, anyways, you bring the cup of water over your head, then you go down in that position. You try not to drip that way. Try it sometime. It'll slow you down. And
I won't do it with vodka like the Russians would. No, I'll do it with beer.
Well, they'll chug it, then do it. Yeah.
So what are some misconceptions when it comes to kettlebells?
Well, the biggest misconception is that the kettlebell is going to hurt your back, and that's with improper technique. Yeah, it's going to hurt your back like anything will.
Mm-hmm.
But and some people don't know how to they grip things. They try to grip the bell too hard. They got to feather their grip, and then also kettlebell lifting is going to give you all kinds of calluses and stuff. Yeah, sure. When I first started, man, I used to have some calluses that you wouldn't believe because I didn't know how to properly grip the bell.
Yeah.
And once I got that down, the misconception that it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you if you do stupid things with it.
So what are a few actionable tips and kettlebell movements listeners can apply today?
Well, one thing is before you move on to any other lift, get the two-handed or Russian swing down, two-handed swing.
Just up to your chest?
Just up to your chest.
Or belly button, not even your chest?
Not even your chest. You go. So what you do is you try to get that, just the movement going. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we call it an easy, lazy swing. One instructor used to call it, get the lazy swing. So all you're doing is using your legs and your hips of just getting the swing going. So you just go in there, and then you start generating a little more power. Then you start doing that, and you just get the bell. You know, it's not gonna. Your arms won't be parallel to the floor, but you want to keep everything tight to your chest and stuff when you bring it through. But it's a nice, slow, easy, methodical movement. And the other thing is that people tend to get too tight and tense. Mm-hmm. Now the hard style, they'll do that. But the thing in what I learned, because I went from the fitness style or the fitness style or hard style, and then I was very fortunate that there's a local guy that used to do these videos for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys. Mm-hmm. And other guys, you should videotape them, the Gracie brothers or whatever. he actually had them and do videos with them. But then also he got involved with the kettlebell market. And he had all these famous kettlebell instructors come to town, and they used to film it over at WXXI. Mm-hmm. Well, Paul Velia was his name, and Paul would contact me because he knew I had kettlebells. So he'd borrow the kettlebells. And also he says, come to the studio and watch these guys and give me your opinion of their workouts. Because he had a whole bunch of DVDs they used to make with these famous kettlebell instructors. And so he had this one guy that was doing the competition style. Never heard of it. So I went there, I watched them. And it was like, man, it was like going from the minor leagues to the major league.
Wow.
Because these guys were, everything was so precise. Mm-hmm. It was all about efficiency. Mm-hmm. Even the, even if you look at the different style bells, you got your competition style bell and then your fitness style bell. The mm-hmm. fitness style bells are all, they're all different sizes, mm-hmm. you know, physical sizes or in weights. But the competition style, the exact same style, you could have an 8 kilogram kettlebell, which is around 18 pounds, or you could have a 32 kilo, which is 71 pounds. You could have that one there, and they're the exact same size. And that's because they want you, when you practice, you want to have the bell land in the exact same position all the time mm-hmm. for your lifts, because you got to be precise. We've got some really good lifters at the Rock. You know, of course, our top lifter is Dana Curcio. Dana, mm-hmm.
Shout out to Dana. Dana's awesome.
She is. She's just unbelievable. You know, she went to Seoul, Korea, won the gold there, and she went to Ireland. She might have did it in Italy. She's been all over the world, and
yeah,
she's a force out there with the kettlebell competitions. She took off. She's got a beautiful baby.
Nice.
Bella. So, but she's got that. She wants to do another. We used to do a Bells on the Beach at the Rock. We haven't done that because of COVID, but September we might do a small kettlebell competition out of the gym. And
cool.
Dana's been asking me to. What do you think, Coach? Want to get that going? I go, yeah. Why don't we give it a shot?
I love it.
Back into again. Yeah.
This is perfect timing to release this for that. It's awesome. Well, now, what about like online videos for kettlebell tutorials? Do you have anything like that on your social media pages or your website?
Well, I've done some, but there's other experts out there that mm-hmm. have videos, some really, really good lifters that go to them. They're a little more precise in their lifts and stuff. But
so what are they looking for? Is it fitness style, or are they looking more for the hard style? What do you recommend?
No, fitness is hard style. I recommend the competition style.
Okay. Yeah, fitness is the same as hard. There's two styles, fitness or hard.
Yeah.
And then competition
style. Right. And I would look at that because they're so precise on their, mm-hmm. on their lifts and stuff, you know, but then, you know, fitness styles, there's some really strong individuals that do the hard style. You know, mm-hmm. there's the, I think it's called, the organization that's doing it now is called Strong First. And it's a good organization. They got some really good instructors with that, but they teach a different style. And then you have the Steve Cotter is another, Ken Blackburn. These guys are some top instructors that I think they have an organization called the IKFF, International Kettlebell Fitness Federation, and they've got some really good videos and stuff out there. So
let's talk about you and your workout. So what is your favorite kettlebell movement? And let's say you had 10 or 15 minutes. What's a quick little workout you could do with one kettlebell?
Oh, with one kettlebell, what I'll do is I'll do a, I like to do a progressions where you'll start out with a single arm, start out with three kettlebell swings. So you get a rhythm going, three swings, three cleans.
Just with one arm?
Yeah, one arm. There you go, three swings. Then you go to three cleans. Then after the cleans, you'll go to a jerk, an overhead, a push press. You do three of those. Now you have it in your rack position, you'll do some deep squats. Mm-hmm. This is without putting the bell down. Then you'll go to a kettlebell high pull, which is bringing the kettlebell up and you're doing your elbow back. You'll do.
Do you like that lift? I mean, you're okay with that lift?
Yeah, I'm okay.
The shoulder?
With the,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's the yeah. My shoulder's fine as long as I don't go to the big heavy kettlebell. That's okay. What my surgeon told me.
Yeah.
So I promised him that I wouldn't do that.
Your chiropractor did too.
Yes. And then after the high pull, you'll do three. Then I'll do three snatches. Then after the snatches, now I got the kettlebell. My last snatch, I'll leave it up overhead. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go to a lunge with the kettlebell extended over my head. And I'll go real strict down to a lunge. I'll do three lunges with the kettlebell up on top. Then after that, I'll do three windmills to work my flexibility. After my windmill, I'll do a Turkish get up.
So it ends up being,
it's like 25 reps. You add everything up. It ends up being 25 reps on the left side. Then you switch over, do the same thing on the right side. And it's take you about three to 4 minutes. And then you might want to take a break. Then you do it again. And what I'll do is I'll go through it three to five times. It's a great routine to take on vacation with you. So you take a kettlebell, which is portable.
Yeah.
Maybe take now bring a 12 kilogram maybe a 16 kilogram. You know, just throw in the car.
Yeah.
Go to New Jersey to the beach house, Cape May or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a kettlebell with me. I can do anything I want.
Love it.
So
that's a big perk for a kettlebell. It's portable, like you said, in the beginning.
Yeah. And there's so many things you could do with it.
What's your favorite movement? If you could do one movement, what would it be?
Turkish get up.
Turkish get up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love the Turkish get up. Yeah.
With beer or just with the kettlebell?
With the beer.
So I think we kind of answered that here. Oh, maybe not. If you were stranded on an island that could only take one piece of gym equipment, what would it be?
I'm sorry.
If you were stranded on an island and you could only take one piece of gym equipment, what would it be?
I thought you meant I was going to say my wife, but
you could press your wife, right?
Yeah, right. One piece of equipment, it would be the kettlebell.
I thought you were going to say the jump rope.
No, not the jump rope.
Okay.
No, not as I get older, no, because I can't jump rope as long as I could, because every once in a while I get a little cramp in my calf. So
it's your pride too, right? It's hitting you.
Yes.
So you would take the kettlebell. Yeah. I mean, you can, it's so versatile. You can do so much with it.
Yeah. 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 Jump rope. I would say jump rope
for sure.
Yeah, but as I want, because I can't jump around as long as I could.
Yeah.
Right. Do five, six rounds. Now three rounds, I know, hey, I gotta quit. Or I'll do 100 spins at a time. I'll break my workout. I'll do 100 spins and I'll do something else. You know, that constant pounding on the.
Yeah.
Even though I'm light on my feet.
Yeah. It adds up. Yeah. With the kettlebell, you're on the ground still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about you here. So how do you win the day? How do you win the day? Like, what's a perfect day for you?
Perfect day for me. Every day is Sunday to me. I just working with people, coaching them. You know, it's been like that since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I get to I double up on it when I'm over at Aquinas. You know, I leave the Rock, and then I go over to Aquinas and I teach the kids over there. And it's just so, you get so much satisfaction on, watching these. I love working with the kids or even the adults that can't even do a jumping jack. But then after they train with me for a while, you'd see them punching the bag and stuff like that and doing things really well. So
it sounds like community and relationships is really important for you. You're helping people all day. But what about self-care? So like, what time do you wake up? Do you get your workouts first thing in the morning? Are you just working out all day?
Well, that's the problem. When people think that being a gym owner, you gotta be working out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that way. And I learned the hard way. That's how I got injured, is mm-hmm. that I would have so many clients that I would do my kettlebell training in between clients. So I would have no warm up. I thought, I'm warmed up. I worked out with a client a little bit. And before you know it, the shoulder starts getting, you know how my shoulder was.
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting injured here. Oh, my knee. Okay. And then that's what I used to competitions. My training, you look at these major kettlebell lifters, they take a lot of time in stretching and warming up. What I would do is I'd be doing work sets in between clients, because the competition lifts are done over you have 10 minutes to do as many snatches as you could, changing arms only once. And so I would rush through that and, I got my goal for the day. I got my 10 minutes in, but, that's not the way to do it. Because you think that because you're a gym owner, you got all kinds of, no, because if you're good and you got clients lined up, you get, they're the priority, and, so some people, why do you work out with them? Nah, I can't work out with them because I got to watch them.
Yeah. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah.
I can relate. I do it more with sleep. I'll skimp on sleep being a business owner. I'll wake up a little bit earlier. Then the next month it's 20 minutes earlier. And then before you know it, you're up too early and you're not sleeping enough and recovering.
Yep.
So you got to reprioritize things with your self-care and training, especially. You got to have that 45 minutes to an hour of just your time.
Yes.
To warm up, to exercise, to cool down. It's important.
So what I did do I've got a lot of great people with me, and they suggest, I 10 years in the business, I would go 7 days a week, nonstop, and I used to have a lot of clients. I used to go with a lot of clients, and that's when I also the injuries started taking place. And then so they said, why don't you take Sunday off? Then I now I take Sundays off and Thursdays off.
Nice.
And it's been fantastic. I'm starting to get back on the road to recovery, now.
Yeah.
The injury with the shoulder, the knee, the eye, all kinds of stuff. So
good for you, man.
But
so let's talk about your business. Anything exciting planned with your business for the rest of the year?
We're trying to, we expanded our youth program a little bit. We started getting more going with our youth program, and that's going rather well. We're going to have, add more classes. We cut back on a number of classes with COVID. So we're trying to increase that number, and then, get into some more advanced boxing with our group, because people are asking about that. And I've got some new younger coaches that are helping, some former Aquinas guys that want to get into it, into the coaching, and they're doing really well helping me out.
Now, you said September you have the kettlebells on the beach, or you're going to do
we'll do it at the gym. It's going to be a smaller scale lift. What we'll do is we'll do it for, we'll pick some charity, and we'll have a registration that people will pay, and we'll put that money towards the charity. So
how can listeners get more information on that event, on your business, connect with you online, and or sign up for a class?
Yeah, we'll sign up for a class. It's through MindBody. That's the app we use. Go through our website, rockboxing.com.
Rockboxing.
Rockboxing.com. And then we'll post on there. Plus, follow us on social media. Dana takes care of that for us, and she's always posting things about our class schedule and other events and stuff that we're doing.
I'm really excited to hear your answer to this one. This is the final question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
Well, besides rock boxing?
Besides, yeah.
besides rock boxing. There's a toss up between like an Abbott's ice cream.
Okay. That's
always a great place. And
also
one of the, we have so many hot dog places that are incredible.
Uh-huh.
And everybody talks about Nick Tao's, but then you got your Shaler's, you got your Charbroil, your Charpit. Cause I have a brother-in-law that, you got that Dogtown on over on,
Dogtown's good. Monroe Ave.
Yeah. And, he's from Jersey, He comes here. He cannot believe it. He says, I don't believe the number of places that you have that are better than any other place around.
Nice.
So I would take him to probably either Abbott's or one of our hot dog places.
But go to Rock Boxing first. I wouldn't do Rock Boxing after the hot dog and ice cream.
Build up the appetite.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Coach, hey, I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you're doing for our community. I mean, you do such a great job. You're just selfless and you're so humble and you give to so many different charities. I mean, we met being Lululemon ambassadors a few years ago. And since day one, I just knew that you were different than most people. And you just give a lot to our community. So thank you for that.
Okay. Remember, service to others is our rent that we pay for our room here on earth.
Remember? I love that. I love that. Say that again.
Service to others is the rent that we pay for our room here on earth. And my good buddy, Muhammad Ali, coined that quote. So
we got to wrap it up with that. That's awesome. Right. Thanks again, man.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Coach Dom shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.